All right, take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we do win. Now, if you've read the whole book, amen, read the whole book, we win. We win. You say, well, I've been kind of discouraged. Well, go on and read the whole book. You'll find out. We win. And praise God. I like being on the winning side, don't you? What a blessing. I'd rather be on the winning side in anything. Amen. Especially when it comes to heaven and hell, and especially when it comes to eternal things. Eternal things. We want to be on the winning side. Amen. And that is the most, you know, so who cares if Detroit lost, right? Amen. Because, you know, the winning side, I mean, that's temporal anyway. You win a Super Bowl, the trophy's going to vanish. But to be on God's side, you can't beat that. That's the winning side. I want to talk to you tonight about winning on the winning side. Amen? Oh, yeah, winning on the winning side. You know, sad to say, we're on the winning side, but sometimes we lose. Sometimes we're losing, you know? You're not going to lose ultimately. You're on the winning side. You win. Amen? But sad to say, a lot of folks are losing on the winning side, and I'll explain that in just a few minutes. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, jumps right out in the middle of the passage. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. Two verses, verses 13 and 14. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. Jumps out. Read the passage. I was reading this passage, and all of a sudden, I'm reading some different things, and right in the middle of an exhortation about the brethren and different things to the Corinthian church, just all of a sudden, Paul says, watch! Stand fast in the faith! Quit you like men! Be strong! Let all your things be done with charity. Father, please bless the preaching tonight. Give us what we need. And, oh God, I pray that you'll bless over in the gym. And I pray there will be many, many young people come to Christ. Help us to not only be on the winning side, but help us to win on the winning side. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We win. Amen. We are the winners. That's not a prediction. That's a fact. Amen. That is a fact. Pastor Rogers is making predictions. Oh, I'm not making any. I don't have to predict. God said it. We win. And ultimately, you know, the Bible says we are more than conquerors. I mean, you know, just to be a conqueror, that's nothing. We're more than conquerors, amen? I like the way that's written in the Scripture. Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. We win. 1 John 5 and verse 4, many verses in the Bible about victory and how we are going to have the victory and how we actually now have the victory. Why? Because we are on the winning side. And here in this passage of Scripture, we find our text, these two verses, that are military verses. And all of a sudden, as you read through this passage, we see some exhortation about other brethren and about take care of this person, take care of that person, and pray for them, and here's one that's going to do this, and here's one that's going to do that, and here's our brother Apollos, and there's Timotheus, and just all of a sudden, Paul, it's like, okay, I need to give you these orders. Hey, he says, listen to me, I need you to win. This thing is real, the battle is real. Maybe he started thinking about his brethren. Maybe he started thinking about their lives. Maybe he thought about the church nursery and thought about the little babies there. Maybe he thought about the 2 and 3 year olds there. Maybe he was thinking as he was thinking about people. Maybe he thought about some kids in 1st through 3rd grade, or maybe a 4th through 6th grade young person. Maybe he thought about teenagers. I don't know what he thought, but all of a sudden he jumps in and he throws out military terms. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I read that and I thought, wow, that's good stuff. You know, honestly, if you'd think about those little children in the nursery, huh? Wouldn't you want to win on the winning side? Huh? As you think about our little two and three year olds, wouldn't you want to be a winner on the winning side? Don't you think that our Sunday school teachers should be winners on the winning side? It's not enough just to be on the winning side. I want you to win on the winning side. Amen. It's not enough to say that our Sunday school teacher is on the winning side. It's, hey, I want the Sunday school teacher to be a winner on the winning side. I want those that are teaching our children to be winners on the winning side. I want parents to be winners on the winning side. I want grandparents to be winners on the winning side. You say, preacher, you're kind of throwing me off. I don't totally understand that. Well, you will in just a second. The Corinthians were very carnal. The Corinthians were very immature. The Corinthians obviously the church at Corinth, and by the way, I never understood why anybody would name their church Corinthian Baptist Church. It's like admitting, well, we're just carnal, you know, we're a real carnal bunch of people. But the Corinthian church, I mean, over and over again, they're told that they're immature, they're told that they're carnal. In chapter 15, go to it, right before we get to chapter 16, but in chapter 15, the Bible says that, verse 55, we see that hey, these people are on the winning side. He says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the, notice, the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And obviously, he says, hey, you're on the winning side. No doubt about it. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. But let me tell you something. I want you to win your battles. We're going to win, folks. We win. We're on the winning side. God says, oh, I want you to win your battles. Let me explain. I was years ago, many, 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 many long, long ancient days, when I was in junior high school and high school, I wrestled. And that was a lot of pounds ago, too. I'd hate to think of the weight class I'd be in now. It doesn't seem fair. But I wrestled. And I remember how wrestling went often. You could win your match, but lose the whole match. In other words, you could win in your weight class. You could defeat your person and the team lose. You might be the only one on the team that won. By the way, that can be reversed, and it was in my case. I still can remember the time. I believe it was in ninth grade, and actually, it's one of those stories that has a double story to it. It was a story in which my sister, the wrestling coach, said I had to get my hair cut for the city meet, and of course, at that time, I had hair down here. And that was the time that my sister gave me a haircut. You've read about Samson and Delilah? You didn't read the part about Delilah not having a clue how to cut somebody's hair, did you? And my sister cut my hair, and it was one of those haircuts, I'll never forget it, that it started in one place, and it ended up in a whole other place, because she kept trying to even it out, and I'd say, what are you doing? She said, it's okay, it looks okay. And she cut here, and she cut there. You know, the bowl over the head kind of thing? That's how she started, but she didn't use the bowl. And she started here, and by the time she got all the way around, this side was lower than the other side, so she had to cut it more. And she kept going in a circle around my head. Never forget, I said, what are you doing? Why is this taking so long? There's only so much. It's easy to say now. And she kept going around and around. Pretty soon I started thinking there's something wrong. She said, well, you know, she said, it just doesn't look right. I'm going to have to get the clippers. I said, clippers? I thought you were just going to use scissors. No, you know, I'll get the clippers out. It's okay. By the way, when your sister tells you it's okay, don't believe her. Literally, I'm serious about this. She scalped my head. Not only did she do it too short, but she did a terrible job. She said, you don't want to look in the mirror. Now, wait a minute. The next day, not only was it the wrestling meet, the city meet that I was going to be wrestling in, but it also we also had a band competition, and I played the drums in the band, and I was going to appear in front of people like that. I'll never forget, Dad saw me the next morning, and he could not believe it. He said, son, what in the world did your sister do? He said, I'm going to try to make something out of this and touch it. It was bad. I mean, it was jagged. I mean, it was bad, real bad. And so Dad had, I'll never forget this, he had the clippers, and as he was going around the back, he said, now hold still, I sneezed. Seriously, I am serious I can be. By the way, ninth grade, this is devastating. Dad had the clipper right there on the back of the head, and I go, achoo, and he goes, zzz, and there's a streak up my back, up the back of my head. Now, I say all that because I want a little pity. Thank you. But actually, I went and I had to wrestle, and it was bad. I mean, my hair was here, and now it's everywhere. I mean, it was bad. But we had the city wrestling meet, and I went against a guy that was really one of the best wrestlers, and I went against him, and everybody was whistling. It was bad. It was so bad. But that guy beat me. I think he beat me 9-0. He had pinned all of his other opponents. He didn't pin me, but he. How about a woo? No, it's not all. It's woo. But I lost. But we won. Now let me tell you something. See, you say, "Wow, we won." Yeah, but I lost. See? It's great to be on the winning side. And we are on the winning side. But I want to win on the winning side. I want you to win on the winning side. I don't want any of us to be in heaven and say, "All right, we won." But you to have lost. You to not have the rewards that you could have had. You to not hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Hey, listen, win on the winning side. And I think, really, as I read this, Paul is going through the Corinthian church. He's talking to them, and he's naming all these different people, and he's naming the different needs and different things about them. And just all of a sudden, like a sergeant, like a general, He just says, hey, and he gives these military terms because he wants them not only to be on the winning side. He's already told them they're on the winning side. We know the church at Corinth, they were very carnal. But he's already told them, hey, you're on the winning side. You're saved. You have victory. But he says, here's what I need you to do so you can win. You know, every one of us fights battles every day. Win your battle. Win on the winning side. And that's really what the message is about tonight. Because I remember that so clearly, how that we won as a team, but I lost. So many people, you know, we get wrapped up on the winning side and we know that we're going to win and all of that, but we forget our own responsibility to win our battles. Five things I believe will help you win on the winning side. Number one, I call it caution. He says, Watch ye, caution. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Notice, as do others. Now, I submit to you tonight, those that are asleep, those who are not watching, they're losing. Oh, they may be on the winning side. They're saved. Bless God, I'm going to heaven. But they're asleep and they're losing. They're not winning on the winning side. They're losing their own battle because they're not watching. Caution. Caution. We need to be cautious and we need to watch. I think about those, and there's getting to be more and more of these stories of a guy running for a touchdown. He's all alone. And he's all alone, and boy, he's got the touchdown, and he sees it, and he's running. He's got the football out there, and then he starts to do a little jig, you know, before he gets across the line. Maybe he slows down. He's kind of looking for somebody to take his picture or something like that, and he holds the ball out here. But he doesn't understand that big old linebacker followed him. He doesn't understand that some guy wanted to didn't like the way he was acting and didn't like the way he intercepted the ball or he ran back the punt or whatever. And when he slows down, he puts that ball. How many times have you seen it? That big old linebacker reaches out with all he's got and he slaps that ball. And just before the guy crosses the line for the touchdown, what's his problem? He wasn't watching. He wasn't cautious. He was showboating. And, oh, they may win the game. But he lost. I think about, how about the name Leon Lett? You know, some of you may not know that. It's I believe he was on the Dallas Cowboys, did that very thing. That's everything he's known for. You know, how sad to think. And I realize in heaven, everything's going to be wonderful. There won't be anything bad in heaven. But how terrible to think that, you know, you had a life to give to God. You had opportunities to give to God. And you won. You're on the winning side. Hey, we're the winners. But you didn't do your part. God says, watch. He says, be cautious. I want you to look around. I want you to watch. I want you to be careful. I want you to be cautious. It is a military term. A couple things about this. First of all, he wants you to watch out. Watch out. Amen. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. You know the verse. Go to it though. Underline it. Circle it. Put little asterisks beside it. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Watch out. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Hey, we need to watch out. We need to be careful. We need to look around. We need to be cautious. We need to know that the devil is out there. You know, it amazes me how so many Christians will forget there's a devil. And we're not watching out. We're not watching out and seeing that the devil is after us and he's attacking us and we need to watch out. I think about Gideon's army. And Gideon's army, you know how God whittled it down from 32,000 to 300. And God just had to whittle them down. And boy, you know, Gideon, he's all excited, but he just watches the army get whittled down. And one of the tests was when they went to get a drink of water. And some of them, they were so thirsty, they just stuck their head down in the water and they drank. And while their head was down in the water, others beside them, they brought the water up to their mouth. They cupped the water and they brought it up. And while they drank, they kept looking around. God said, take them. Why? Because they're watching. Why? Because they're cautious. Why? Because they know the enemy's out there. Why? Because the Bible says, hey, be sober, be vigilant. Hey, look around. The devil is after you. It amazes me how we'll just let our kids have the television. We'll let our kids do what they want on the internet. There are predators. There are predators not only on the internet. There are predators in TV stations and predators in advertising. They're after your kids. And the devil's after your kids. We need to watch out. Watch out, because I'll tell you, you know, we need, are you the kind that you're just dipping your head down in the water and just drinking everything that, or are you looking around, making sure? Watch out, folks. Watch out. Huh? Amen. Listen, the best way to spot the devil is to learn the truth, because he comes as an angel of light. How do I know he's wrong? The only way to know he's wrong is to know what's right. That's by far the best way. And he is you know, well, you say, well, I like this or I like that. But listen to me. You know whether it's right or it's not. There are many, many things I like that I know aren't right. Come on now. Amen. You're like that too. I mean, you may like them, but you know they're not right. Okay? The only way I know they're not right is because I have the truth. My King James Bible. And I know they're not right because I read it. I read it in the Scripture. God showed me from His Word, this is not right. And I got to watch out because the devil's going to try to get me to do those things. That's why, honestly, the church in America is a mess. Because so many people are giving in to what they like. And so many pastors want to please everybody, and they don't want anybody to be upset. We don't want to upset the apple cart. Hey, God says, watch out. Why would it shock you that the devil would try to destroy this church? Why would that surprise us? Watch out, folks. Watch out. And we need to watch out. We need to be careful, cautious. Watch out, he says. Hey, how about the second thing? Watch in. Huh? Look at Mark 14, verse 38. Mark 14, 38. Not only do we need to watch out, we need to watch in. Mark 14, 38. You know, the devil, he's walking about all around us and circling and trying to find some way in and trying to attack us in different ways. But I got news for you. You better watch in, too. We need to watch out. We need to watch in. Mark 14, verse 38. See what it says here. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And notice what he says, lest ye enter into temptation. I gotta watch in. I gotta watch me. Huh? Hey, listen, don't bury your head in the sand and say, well, I'm saved, I'm on the winning side, everything's okay. No, every day you better check you. We have the Lord's Supper. Let a man examine himself. Examine himself. You and I, we need to watch in. We need to see where we are. And by the way, the way to do, you do that before you go anywhere. Huh? You did it tonight before you came to church. You know, you ladies, you put curlers in your hair and you did all that, and then you stood in front of the mirror and looked. Huh? Well, I want to be ready. I want to get ready for church. You know, hey, you got in front of the mirror and You know, and you looked around, you got your toothbrush and did your thing there. And you know, my wife, she'll look at me and say, honey, do I have anything between my teeth? Like that. I think everything's all right. And sometimes I'll, just as a joke, I'll leave broccoli there. Tell her, no, everything looks good. But no, I would never do that. Never, never, never. And many times she'll say to me, honey, how's the back of my hair? What's she looking for? I don't know. How's the back of my hair? Yeah, it's there. So what I've learned how to do is she'll say, huh, honey, how's the back of my hair? I'll say, here, let me look. And so I'll do this. Great, perfect, perfect. Oh, she's looking for it. But, you know, but see, we do that. We get in front of a mirror. We check ourselves out. Okay, check yourself out spiritually. Why? Because we're in a war. That's why. Why? Because people are counting on us. That's why. Why? Because we're on the winning side. We know we're going to win, but I want to win. I want to win my match. I want to win my meet. I want to win the event that I'm in. You know, in the Olympics, it is wonderful that the United States, perhaps, let's say they got more gold medals than all the other countries. But I promise you this, there's that guy that worked hard and trained and prepared, and he didn't get to stand on the podium. And he wishes he would have won. Oh yeah, USA, USA, USA. But he's thinking, boy, I wish I could. Folks, honestly, you're going to wish you could have won your event. We're going to want to give Jesus the reward. We're going to want to cast the crowns at His feet. Better watch in. You better watch in. Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Still talking about watch. Watch ye. Watch out. Watch in. Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, the keep there. The idea there, you read in the Bible, the keepers of the prison, they're the guards. God's telling us, guard our heart. What's that mean? Watch. That's how you guard something. You watch. Watch your heart. Watch your heart, folks. Listen to me. Stay with me now. Watch it. Guard it. You know, as soon as that first start of bitterness comes in, get rid of it. That first hatred, that first thought of hatred, get rid of it. Oh, you know, so-and-so did me. So-and-so's always going to do you wrong. There's always going to be wrong being done to you. Get rid of it. Be ready. Be ready. I mean, as soon as that little thought comes to mind that is not right, hey, guard this thing. For out of it are the issues of life. Watch it. Watch our... Boy, am I... You know, I don't really care about what he's talking about. I'd be scared to death if I were you. Huh? Amen. Yeah, you know, that teen thing over there at the school. I'm not too excited. Be careful. Be real careful. Well, you know, I see what the bus kids did. Yeah, those bus kids. Always a bus kid. Be careful. Yeah, you know, the shepherds take up half the school on a Sunday morning. Be careful. Be real careful. Be real careful. You know, hey, you know, all the stuff that's going on today and the politics and everything, don't forget Romans 13 is still in the Bible. Amen. Amen. We do have a president, and we elected him. You say, well, I didn't. No, I didn't vote for him either, but I got news for you. He's still our president, and Romans 13 is in the Bible. Oh, it gets real quiet then. There's that proverbial, I know, but you know what? Your heart's more important than all those issues. Amen? You want to win on the winning side, you're going to obey God and do what God says. It's like I preached this morning. You know, you have people do you wrong. You say, I'll show them. No, you show Jesus that your heart's right. Amen. Watch in. Watch your heart. I mean, when it starts getting cold, when it starts getting hard, be careful. Be careful. I've preached many times before, conviction's so good. You say, I don't like conviction. You should thank God for conviction. Because if you're not convicted, hey, something's wrong. Something's wrong. If you can get away with sin, something's wrong. If you come to church and preaching's hard and preaching's, you know, people are at the altar and you say, you know, I didn't get a thing out of that, something's wrong. People come to me, you know, hey, you know, that message, I didn't get a thing out of it. And I think, man, you better be careful. Because that's the Word of God. I don't know how many scriptures. Pretty much every message, I use many, many scriptures. And if you can't, if God doesn't do something, watch out. Watch out. Watch in. Third thing, watch over. Amen. Like the watchman in the Bible. What's the watchman do? He's guarding the camp. He's watching over the camp. Amen. And when he watches over the camp, you know, he might be the guy, maybe you've read this or seen this or something like that. 10 o'clock and all is well. Of course, if I'm asleep, I don't really care. Amen. You know, I don't want to hear that, although I like it that all is well. And I do, you know, when you think about those days when the enemy could penetrate the camp and could get in, it is kind of good to know that you're hearing 10 o'clock and all is well instead of, right? Maybe that's why they did that. I don't know. But you know, that's what we need to do. We need to watch over our camp. Amen? Guard the camp. That is so good. Guard this camp. Guard God's people. Watch over your church. You say, well, you know, I heard such and such about so. You know what you better do then? Immediately get on your knees. Get right on your knees. Notice I didn't say get on the telephone. Get on your knees. Amen. That's called watching over your camp. God, you're the commander. Did you know? By the way, when you ask God, did you know? He knows. But when you talk to God about it, you can. When you ask other people, did you know? Because you want to find out if they know something that they might be able to tell you. Because you have itching ears. That's sin. Watching over the camp is to watch over and say, oh, I saw that. And I saw what just happened, or I saw that person do. I got to go to God. Maybe you see a young person do something. I got to go to that young person. You see a Christian do something. I got to go to that person and talk to him and try to help him, try to encourage him. Watch over. By the way, watching over people is looking for an opportunity to help. I pray this at Christmas time especially, that you will look over each other and watch over people and look for needs you can meet. Amen. Listen. You know, listen to prayer requests. Somebody said, boy, you know, we're just praying about paying such and such, you know, a bill for this, or we've got this need or that need. Or hey, you know, listen, with the Holy Spirit guiding you, listen, and maybe you could meet that need. Nothing more fun in the world. You know, we've got several groups that come, you know, and say, Pastor, we're collecting for such and such and so and so or something like that, and we just, you know, we're wanting to be a blessing, can you tell us somebody that has a need? And I always do every year. I tell them me. No, I don't really. But it's such a blessing to be able to take out my wallet and give that to that person, because they're also watching for someone who has a need. That's so good. We're supposed to watch over, you know, watch out for each other. Amen? Watch, he says, with caution. Watch out, watch in, watch over, and watch for. Amen? What are you watching for, preacher? I'm watching for Jesus. Look at Matthew 24, 42. Matthew 24, 42. Watch for Jesus. Yes, amen. By the way, don't look for signs. Look for Him. Amen? We're better off looking for Him than we are looking for signs. Matthew 24, 42. By the way, the signs will slap you upside the head. You don't have to look for signs. Signs, you know, if you just know your Bible. Amen. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Amen. We're watching for Jesus. And we need to be ready. Not just doing right, but we ought to be excited. Remember when Grandma and Grandpa were coming? Remember how excited you were? You were excited because they always brought a gift. Right? Amen. When's Grandma and Grandpa going to get here? When are they going to get here? Oh, I can't wait. And you'd go look out the window. Watch. You know, maybe you were looking down a long lane, or maybe it was across the road, or maybe it was down the highway. When are they going to get here? I remember Christmas time. We didn't open presents till Grandma and Grandpa got there. And I mean, you know, you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Grandma and Grandpa didn't. And they didn't get there at 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, you're just waiting and waiting and waiting on Grandma and Grandpa to get there. When are they going to get here? I want to open my presents. I got to open my presents. Grandma and Grandpa need to get here. Man, you're excited. Are you excited about Jesus coming? You know, it's amazing. You know, a lot of God's people, I know that He's going to come sometime, but I'm not so excited. You ought to be excited about it. We ought to be excited about it. And caution, he says, watch ye. Then, number two, I talk about conviction. Conviction. The Bible says, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. Again, if you're going to win on the winning side, you're going to have caution. You're going to have to watch. Then, number two, you're going to have conviction. Stand fast in the faith. Look, if you will, at 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 2. And I use this, well, this is part of my study. I use this morning in my Sunday school class. 2 Thessalonians 2, 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. He says, don't be shaken in mind, don't be troubled, neither by spirit. You know, God says, I want you to stand fast in the faith. Things shouldn't shake us up. Amen. And by the way, if we're standing fast in the faith, things won't shake us up. 1 Corinthians 15, I already read this, but I'm going to read it again. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Notice, I know that my labor is not in vain in the Lord, and I know that God has everything under control, and I believe that, and I'm convicted about it. Stand fast in the faith. You know why people waver? You know why people get wimpy? You know why people are weenies? Because they're not convicted. Now, I'm going to show you why. Notice Ephesians 4:14. And we really have to hurry, because I'm going to be baptizing here in a few minutes. Well, a few minutes. Ephesians 4:14, you're going to like this. Maybe. The Bible says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Okay? Be careful of your TV religion. I'm serious about that. Be careful of your magazine religion. Because I'm telling you, the being tossed to and fro is happening all the time. You know? And he says, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Notice the word tossed. Tossed. That's so many Christians. One day, hey, great message. Another day, I'm not so sure about that. You know,
Joyce Meyer said,
what in the world are you doing? What are you thinking? Had a guy one time, you know,
yeah, I listened to Joyce Meyer.
I said, you're an idiot. What is wrong with us? Hello? Tossed! 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 To and fro. Now watch this. Acts 27, 18. Here it is again. This is so good. Acts 27, 18. I'm going to show you tossed. Here they are in the middle of the sea, we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. The next day they lightened the ship. They were being tossed by the waves. Tossed. Now, you see it in your mind? You got it? Wave throws them over here, and then another wave tosses them over. That's how a lot of folks' lives are. Whether it's tossed because of religion, whether it's tossed because of false doctrine, whether it's tossed because of trials, God doesn't love me anymore. I mean, you're just being tossed all over the place, right? Tossed because of the economy? Where are you, God? You know, tossed back and forth, up, down. That's your life. Tossed. Watch what happens. I love this. Acts 27, 41. Same storm, same tempest. Falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. You can only be tossed so much, and then you break. But you know what? What about that part that got stuck? I read that. I got so excited. About shouted, Phyllis. I really did. I want to be stuck! Let me be stuck! That's what the Bible says. Isn't it? Huh? Isn't that what the Bible says? Psalm 1? Planted. 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 As a tree by the river of living water. Planted. What's that? Stuck. You ever pull a weed? Remember back in the old days before weed eaters? Huh? And you had to pull weeds. You ever get a hold of a weed? I pulled weeds for grandma and grandpa. They had serious weeds out in the country. It's amazing the difference in weeds. And I got a hold of some of those big old weeds. And, you know, they're about like that. And you grab hold of that thing and pull and pull and pull. You ever pull one and the root just keeps coming? And as you're pulling it up, you're, you know, because it was in China. Look, keep that thought in your mind, not the Chinese. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. Look what it says here. Rooted. Isn't that good? We're supposed to be rooted and built up in Him, in Jesus, and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Rooted. See, to keep you from being tossed, you need to be rooted. The deeper the roots, the harder it is to pull you up. Amen. That's why we're supposed to be planted by the river. We're supposed to be planted and down and stuck like that ship. Part that got stuck, it didn't break up. The other part, it broke up. Lives are broken because you've been tossed too much. Amen. Get stuck. Get rooted. Know what you believe based on your King James Bible and get rooted. Colossians 1, verse 23. The Bible says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye've heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Folks are struggling today because they are not listening to God when He says, stand fast in the faith. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15. 2 Thessalonians 2, 15. We're moving right along. The Bible says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Stand fast. Amen. That's being stuck. One more. Philippians 1, verse 27. Philippians 1, 27. I really like this, because in my mind, I see roots intertwined. You ever grab hold of a weed and try to pull on it, and you found out it was attached to some other weed roots? Boy, what a pain. And you ever try to pull a weed and it's right next to a tree and you realize its roots are intertwined with the tree roots, and when you pull on that weed, you pull up that oak tree? I've never done that, but if I were strong enough, I could. But you couldn't pull the weed because it was intertwined with the other root of something that is far bigger. Philippians 1:27 talks a little bit about that. It says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Notice what he says, that ye stand fast in one spirit. Hey, let's get our roots intertwined, folks. Amen. Stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's what this is all about in church. Hey, how are you going to make it when things do really get tough? How did God's people make it in the early church? How did they, you know, we hear and read all these stories. You ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? How'd they make it? Well, they had their roots intertwined. They were together. They were unified. They certainly weren't gossiping about one another. Huh? They were helping each other stand. God says you need to have conviction. The only way to stand fast is to know your book and know what you believe and why you believe it. And storms can't move you. Popularity won't move you. Feelings won't move you. You'll stand. Why? Because I know this. I know it. I know what God said, and I stand on that. That is conviction. Number one is caution. Number two is conviction. Number three, go back to 1 Corinthians 16. And our third thing is courage. You'll notice what he says, quit you like men. By the way, 1 Samuel 4, verse 9, 2 Samuel 10, verse 12, it's the same idea. Play the man. Be a man. That means be what we expect men to be. He says, quit you like men. Be what we expect a man to be. And that would be courageous. When in the Bible it talks about being like a man, God is saying, be courageous. Show some courage. Not a child, not a woman. Be a man. Be courageous. Hey, in our war today against the devil, in our war against this world, in our war against our own flesh, we're going to need some courage. We're going to need some courage. Not a child. I've seen so many babies. Honestly, Christian babies. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. You know. You're going to have courage. Amen. It's going to be that way. It's going to have to be courage like a man. That's bravery. Like when there's a noise at night. Honey, did you hear that? No, I didn't hear it. Why? I was asleep. Ladies, have you ever wondered why we didn't hear it? It's because we're asleep. But, you know, hey, who's going to get up and check? Yeah, don't, ladies, don't tell on your husband. You know, who's going to get up and check? Right. Bravery, right? bravery, going forward, leading through the unknown, right? That's courage. You know, you know, you're in the dark, and honey, follow me. We were walking in Hawaii, and we walk on rocks. And the time we climbed the mountain, who led the way? Me. Yeah, that wasn't this time. I'm too old this time. She was too old the last time, but she got up about. She says 3/4 of the way. I'm thinking it was more like a half the way, but who led the way? You know, I'm leading the way, and I'm grabbing hold of these. Now, you have to understand, our mountain is not like Mount Everest. Okay, we didn't have spike things in our boots and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I, who leads the way, you know? There could be a dangerous spot up here, and if I grab hold of this rock, it may not hold me, so I'll go first, you know? And why? Because we're brave. We're the ones supposed to do that, right? Courage. Courage, huh? Bravery. You know, he's saying, like men, be brave. Go forward. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. I'm going to tell you how you're not going to win on the winning side if you don't have faith. I'm so ashamed often at God's people who don't, you know, we know there's a God, but you don't really believe there's a God. Otherwise, you wouldn't hold so tight to this thing. Huh? So I thought you were talking about climbing mountains and stuff like that. Do you know, trusting God. Amen. Trusting God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Impossible to please Him. And we don't trust Him. When is the last time you ask God, what do you want me to give? Nope, got my tithe figured out right down to the penny. I would hate to live that kind of life. That'd scare me to death. When's the last time you had an extra maybe $10 in your wallet and you started looking around for somebody that needed it? Amen. And you started asking God, let me get rid of this thing. Let me help somebody out. Lord, I want to be a blessing to someone today. Show me, God. Oh, you say, that's my McDonald's. I don't know how many times I've given 10 and God gave me 20. I didn't do it for that reason, but I've watched it happen. Is God real or not? See, courage leads and steps out into the unknown. Courage steps out into the area whereby it's totally by faith. Totally by faith. Courage tells me of endurance. In other words, you keep going under pressure. You keep going. You know, endurance. Patience, which the word literally means to remain under. Whatever the pressure, to remain under, to keep going. We have so many quitters today. But it takes courage to keep going. Courage like a man is supposed to have. To keep going under pressure. Don't quit. Courage to believe in the cause. Like David, who said, is there not a cause? And he went out and whooped Goliath. Amen. Courage. Do you really believe there's a cause? Do you think this thing over here is just a bunch of teens having fun? Or is there a cause? Are there people that are lost that need to be saved? Sure. Manly courage. Courage to be loyal. To defend the weaker vessel. Amen. What are you talking about? Manly courage protects that which is weak. I'm going to tell you something. It takes courage for you and I to separate from sin that's destroying us. The sin which doth so easily beset us. It takes courage for you to separate from that. It takes courage for you to develop standards that will keep you away from that sin. There's folks all over this room. You know you should get rid of the internet. You know that. Come on. You want to have revival? That's where it'll start right there. There's all over this room. Some of you have it under control because you have filters and you've been smart. There are many of you, you've gotten past your filters. You've got it figured out. You've got it figured. You've got your wife fooled. Or wife, you have your husband fooled. And you're looking at stuff and you're talking about stuff you know is not right. And you are a loser on the winning side. But it takes courage to admit it and get it right. Some of you, you have no business having a television because you don't have it under control. It controls you. Come on. I'm just saying, it takes courage to separate from and protect the weakness that you have. See, some of you need to stay away from other people because it destroys you. It's a weakness. Huh? Courage. But God says, right here in the middle of this passage, He says, hey, He says, quit you like men. He didn't say be a man, He said act like a man. And that requires courage. Number four is control. He says, be strong. Be strong. By the way, it's commanded to be strong. Therefore, it is a choice that I have. I control whether I'm strong or not. Are you listening? I can choose to be weak or I can choose to be strong. He says, be strong. What's that mean? Look at Proverbs 25, 28. We're just about done. Proverbs 25, 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And you know what that means? That means the whole city is open for attack. That is a weak city. That's somebody who doesn't have control over himself. God says, you be strong. That means I'm going to have to get control over me so my walls are strong. I'm going to have self-control. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25, it's very, very simple. 1 Corinthians 9, 25, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. That means he has self-control. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. He says, I bring my body into subjection. I have control. Amen. Now, by the way, everybody amens that when we talk about cigarettes. That's right, get control. Everybody, we amen that all the time. But you know, preacher, we amen that when we talk about alcohol. But how about what our eyes see? How about what our ears hear? How about the places where we go? How about the things we do? How about gluttony? How about, you know, there are so many areas of our life we need to get self-control. Because I'll be honest with you, until you have self-control, you cannot give Him control. And ultimately, control. When He says, be strong, the strongest I can be is to give Him control. Strongest I can be. You cannot, when we're His, and when He has control, we cannot be any stronger. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen? That's when we're strong. You know, you're not going to be strong until you get control so that you can give Him control. If you're giving in to your body, to your flesh, to your will, your desires, and all of that, and you're forsaking the will of God, and you're going on your own, you can't give God control. You need to get control so you can give God the control. and then you're strong. Colossians 1, verse 11, it says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. See it? His power. That's what I need. That's what you need. Hebrews 11, verse 32, the Bible says here, and what shall I more say? And here's some heroes, for the time would fail to tell me of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David also, Samuel, of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. By the way, that's winning on the winning side, amen? That's what they're doing. Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. And watch what it says. Out of weakness, we're made strong. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. Out of weakness. You get control so you can give God control so that you can be strong and obey God, what He said there. That's the strongest you can be. You say, hey, I'm going to put my body into subjection. I'm going to get my ears under control so I quit listening to garbage. I'm going to get my eyes under control so I quit watching garbage. I'm going to get my mouth under control so I quit spewing garbage. I'm going to get my feet under control so I quit going into garbage places. I'm going to get my hands under control so I quit handling garbage. And then I'm going to give all that control to God. And He's going to take me to heavenly places with my life. And I'm going to win on the winning side. Caution, conviction, courage, control. The last thing is charity. And in verse 14, let all your things be done with charity. The word there is agape. That means to give and expect nothing in return. By the way, we understand that when we think about the word charity. Somebody said, why do you use charity in 1 Corinthians 13? It's a great word. We understand it. It's to give, expecting nothing in return. That's charity. I give and I expect nothing in return. That's the kind of love that God says, let all your things be done with. That kind of love. Everything. That's an action with no expectation of receiving anything. Amen? That's it. Action with no expectation. Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Huh? That means have no charity for the world. None. Nothing. Nothing to give to the world. Love not the world. But we do. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. By the way, keep, remember what it means? Guard. Yeah, not only do them, but guard them. Charity. Let everything be done. Preacher, all these things, you know, conviction and watching. And what about my life and living my life? That's the whole point I think he's trying to make here. He's saying, hey, you know what? We're in a war. Watch, stand fast, quit you like men, be strong, and let everything be done with charity. Everything be done with a loving spirit. Giving, serving, everything you do. He goes on and he talks about the house of Stephanas, and it says, they've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Well, you want to get an addiction, there's one to get right there. That ye submit yourselves unto such, to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. How do you do that? Well, that's because you're doing everything with love. You're doing everything with charity. Caution, conviction, courage, control, charity. And you do those things, and I promise you, you'll be winning on the winning side. I'm so glad I'm on the winning side tonight. Honestly, when I sing, I love that song. I've had several people request that song. I'm glad you request it because I like it. Because I like winning, and I'm on the winning side. But I want to win on the winning side. I want to be a winner on the winning side. You say, well, boy, thank God I made it to heaven. How sad. How sad. How sad to think there will be folks in heaven and they say, well, Jesus, here's my armor. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Here's my shield, not a mark on it. Here's my helmet, not a mark on it. Here's my sword, looks like it's never been used. You'll be ashamed. You'll be ashamed. Brother Johns, I think of my helmet and I think there's a great big gash right down the middle of it. In fact, I remember when I got hit. My sword, it's pockmarked. Arrows have hit it over and over and over and over again. I mean, it's dinged up bad. Looks like it's been through a hailstorm. I think that anyway. Breastplate, I mean, how many times? Darts have gone right there. in the breastplate. It's got dings all over the place. That's the way it should be. Those shoes, they shouldn't look like they just came off the from the store. No, those shoes, they're worn. Absolutely wore out. The shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Hey, listen, let's win on the winning side. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. How many tonight would say, "Preacher, God's speaking to my heart about something. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand? Slip it up all over. God's speaking to my heart. I want to win on the winning side. Father, bless the invitation and help us to do what you want us to do. Help us not only to be on the winning side, but to be winners on the winning side. Bless the invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. No one's looking around. The instruments play, "Give me thy heart." That's what God wants. All he requires. If you need to come tonight, God's speaking to your heart. You come as the